If you would, take your Bibles this morning and let's go to Acts chapter number 20. And now you say, where is that at? I'm not familiar with my Bible. Well, I've been there. I remember when I didn't know where one book of the Bible was, I couldn't have found John 3:16 in my Bible. And so it takes a while to get comfortable and familiar with your Bible. One of the things that we do every week is we provide you with a message handout. And at the top, it has the Pew Bible page number to help you find it quickly. It's page number 1156, and that'll take you to the book of Acts, which is the book we've been studying on Sunday mornings, Acts chapter number 20. If you did not receive a handout, our ushers will be glad to put one in your hand right now. They're coming down the aisle. So just lift your hand up high if we missed you on the way in, and they'll be glad to provide you a message handout so you can take this message home with you today. All right, I think we got everybody. Great job, guys. I think we got them all as they came in. All right, how many of you have what they call a DVR on your television? Raise your hand if you have a DVR, all right? Y'all know what that stands for? Isn't it amazing the things that we just say and we don't even know what it means, you know? It stands for Digital Video Recorder. That's like we say email. And I asked the boys in the car one day with their friends, I said, do y'all know what email stands for? No. I said, electronic mail. And one of our neighbor kids in the back seat went, electronic email. Still going to call it email, right? No, electronic mail. But, you know, if you got a DVR, You know what that's all about, right? The people are acting, you know, or the players are running around in a basketball or football game or whatever. And you can hit pause and everything stops. You know, you can go eat supper, come back, hit play, and it'll pick up. Or if there's a really good football play, guys, you say, whoa, I got to see that again. You rewind it. You get to watch the touchdown, you know, and you rewind it again. Rewind it again. If it's the Packers, you rewind it again. And again, and again. We do that. Well, you know, we'll watch that play, you know, over and over. Well, you know, have y'all ever noticed that real life is not like a DVR? Have you noticed that in your life there's no pause button? Have you noticed there's no rewind button? Life just keeps moving forward, doesn't it? Hour by hour, day by day. Unfortunately, we don't get any do-overs in real life. Unfortunately, we don't get any replays. Unfortunately, we can't hit the rewind button and do it over. Once a day is gone, there's no way to get it back. Once a day is gone, there's no way to get it back. There's no way to get back tomorrow. It's in the books. There's no way to get back last year, 2012. It's in the books. There's no way that we can go back like some of these young men and live our 16th year of life on earth again. Some of you are like, good, I don't want to do that again. Mess up again, right? But yeah, you know, you can't go back and do it over. In your handout it says we only get one life to live. And because of that, you ought to want to live your life, especially if you're a Christian. You should want to live your life in a way that's going to result in having maximum spiritual impact. Because you don't get those days back. You can't get those years back. So therefore, I want to have a maximum spiritual impact now, right now, while I'm living my life. The Apostle Paul had spent almost 3 years of his life in the city of Ephesus. There he established a local church. There he had led many people to the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Apostle Paul, you remember, ended up leaving Ephesus after the mob, the riot scene. And he left there. Well, those people in Ephesus were very dear to his heart. He'd spent almost 3 years of his life there investing in them. But Paul left, and we saw last week, remember we saw the message last week, walking with God day by day, and we saw how Paul would say, yeah, we went here, and then the next day we went here, and then the next day we went here, and he couldn't do everything in one day. You know, it took day after day after day. And we looked at that last week about how to walk with God day by day, And we looked at three essential principles and how to walk with God over the long haul, how to stay faithful and hang in there and walk with God over the long haul. Well, we left off there in Acts 20, and look at verse 15. It says, "And we sailed thence and came the next day over against Chios. And the next day we arrived at Samos and tarried at Trogyllium. And the next day we came to Miletus." Now look at verse 16. "For Paul had determined to sail by Ephesus because he would not spend the time in Asia. For he hasted, if it were possible for him, to be at Jerusalem on the day of Pentecost." Now, and then verse 17. "And from Miletus he sent to Ephesus and called the elders of the church. And when they were come to him, he said unto them, 'You know from the first day that I came into Asia after what manner I have been with you at all seasons.'" So look up here at the map and notice, if you look at this map here, it'll kind of tell the story. It's got these places that we talked about, Chios and Samos, and Paul's over here, right? Well, he's wanting to get down here by a certain date. And so he wasn't going to take the time to stop in Ephesus. So he told the leaders of the church there, we don't know how many there were, but he said, "I want all the elders or pastors, bishops, if you will, I want you to come and I want you to meet me down here at Miletus. This is more on my way. So you guys meet me at Miletus and I want to talk to you guys before I head to Jerusalem." Paul knew that this would probably be the last time he would ever see these dear people that he loves so much. In fact, look down at verse 25, Acts 20, 25. He says, "And now, behold, I know that you all, among whom I have gone preaching the kingdom of God, shall see my face no more." So he knew this would probably be his last meeting. Look at verse 37 and 38. "And they all wept sore and fell on Paul's neck and kissed him, sorrowing most of all for the words which he spake, that they should see his face no more. And they accompanied him unto the ship." And there he leaves Miletus. And so Paul meets him here. And this text that we're about to study, which we're going to spend a few weeks in here, the text here, the rest of this passage here in Acts 20, is really a gem. It is an absolute gem of a text. Because what it does is it reveals to us Paul's final words of instruction to a group of people that he loved very much. He had lived among these people. He had eaten with them. He had spent time with them. He spent almost 3 years of his life here in Ephesus. And his life was an open book. Look down there again at verse 18. He said, "And when they were come to him, he said unto them, 'You know, from the first day that I came into Asia, after what manner I've been with you at all seasons.'" In other words, what he means by that, he says, "You know my life. You know how I lived. You saw me on a day-to-day basis. You know." It's like people you work with. You know them because you work with them every day. People you live with in your home, you know them because you see them every day. And he says, "You know what? I was with you guys." Remember, he was teaching daily in the school of Tyrannus? And so he says, "You guys know me. You spent time with me every day for 3 years. You know my manner of life." Paul is going to look back in this text at his life. He's going to look back at his three-year life in Ephesus. He's going to look back at this time period right here. He's going to look back in retrospect at his life and the godly pattern that he set for these men. Paul had lived his life for maximum impact with no regrets. And this text is going to show us how he did it. This text is going to reveal to us how he lived his life for maximum spiritual impact. How can you and I live our lives? Because we're not a DVR. You can't go back and rewind yesterday. So how do we make the most of each day? How do we live our lives for maximum spiritual impact? Number one is this. I want you to get this. Number one, this is the very first thing Paul mentions. Number one is to serve the Lord with humility. Serve the Lord with humility. Look at verse 19. It says, serving the Lord with all humility of mind and with many tears and temptations which befell me by the lying in wait of the Jews. Paul was an apostle. Do you know what that means? There's only a few of those in the Bible. There's only a few men in the Bible that are called apostles. That means you actually saw the resurrected Christ. You saw him visibly, physically. He had seen, Paul had seen the resurrected Christ. He was an apostle. Not only that, he said he was the apostle of the Gentiles. In other words, there aren't that many apostles, but of the apostles, he was the apostle of the Gentiles. He said, I magnify mine office. God had given him a magnified office as the apostle of the Gentiles. Peter didn't have that. James didn't have that. John didn't have that. Thomas didn't have that. Andrew didn't have that. None of the other apostles had that office. That was Paul's sole office. That was his. He said, I'm the apostle of the Gentiles. He wrote 13 books of the Bible. He wrote more of your New Testament than any other man, than any other apostle. But yet, I said all that to say, he served the Lord with humility. He wasn't an insolent dictator. He didn't let his position go to his head. He didn't become this prideful man that's going around trying to bully and intimidate people and flex his muscles and look at me, man, I'm the apostle and you better do what I say. He didn't do that. In fact, look up at the screen at 1 Thessalonians 2. He says there, but we were gentle among you, even as a nurse cherisheth her children. So being affectionately desirous of you, we were willing to have imparted unto you not the gospel of God only, but also our own souls, because you were dear unto us. As you know how we exhorted and comforted and charged every one of you as a father doth his children. That was Paul's attitude. He served the Lord with humility. Paul didn't let his position go to his head. He had a servant's heart. He said, you guys know what manner of life I lived among you and how I served the Lord with humility. One of the biggest challenges, I think, in the church, And I think I can say this after being in one place now, as we know last week, for 24 years total here. And I think I can say this, that I believe the biggest challenge for a Christian is when they get a position in the local church. When you are no longer just a Christian that comes and you worship God and you just come and you just worship Him. When you get a position of leadership, whether it's a position on the church staff, whether it's a head over a department, whether it's the head over a committee, whether it's a deacon, whether it's a pastor, whether it's, you have authority of some sort, that is the biggest challenge for people. Because what I've seen over and over again through the years is that a lot of people cannot handle that. The position will go to their head, and I'm sure we see this out in the workforce. The position goes to people's head, and now the attitude is almost, okay, now that I have this position, everybody has to do what I say, do what I want, and serve me. But that's not the attitude of Jesus Christ. And that's not the attitude of Paul. In fact, in your handout it says, do you want to impact lives? Here's the biblical secret. It says you impact others by serving others. You impact others by serving others. Look in your handout with me at a passage here that I find quite amazing. We call this the Last Supper. You know, they call it the Last Supper. And it says, as they were eating, Jesus is about to go to the cross. And as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, take, eat, this is my body. And he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them. saying, drink ye all of it, for this is the blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. You know what amazed me about that text? Is that Christ is sitting there serving the disciples, including Judas Iscariot. He's serving them. He's getting the bread ready. He's cutting it up. He's distributing it to them. He's getting the cup ready. He's giving it to them. He's serving the disciples this meal. And if anybody could have sat there like King Tut, and if anybody could have said, all right, let's see, I'm going to do a little delegating. Thomas, you get the bread ready. Peter, you get the cup ready. When they get it over here, James, I want you to slice up the bread. Let's see, I'll have you, Philip. Why don't you get, you know, once the cup's ready, you start handing it out over to the guys. If anybody could have sat there and said, you know what, you guys are going to do it. I'm just going to sit here and give the orders. And you know what, if anyone could have done that and had a right to do it, it was Jesus Christ. But he didn't. He sat there and got it all ready and distributed it to the men there. Like I said, he's serving Judas Iscariot. You think about that. Let that sink in. Tell you one thing, that'll make some of you teenagers not want to go home and go, why do I got to take the trash out? You think about Christ serving like that, that'll change your life right there, won't it, guys? That'll change your life and your whole mindset. Instead of why do I have to take the trash out, it's the attitude of, wow, I get to take the trash out. Out of everyone in this family, I get to serve. I get to be like Jesus. Hallelujah. And, you know, we laugh, but honestly, isn't that the way when Christ comes to live in you, shouldn't you begin to think that way? Isn't that really ought to be the way you are once Christ comes to live inside your heart? Is that you're ready to serve. In your handout, it says, serving the Lord is essentially serving others. That's how you serve the Lord. You serve others. Now, that's where it gets a little difficult. Because you know what? If Jesus Christ was sitting at their house, and if he was sitting in the easy chair, and if Jesus said, Adam, I want you to go take the trash out, yes, yes, Jesus, yes, Master, I'll be honored to do that. Right? I mean, you're like, man, this is Jesus. I'm getting to do this for Christ. But when it's just mom that says take the trash out, and you see brother sitting there, and he's more than able to do it, it's not as easy, is it? No. You see, you cannot literally give Jesus anything. He's in heaven. You cannot literally serve Jesus Christ, I mean, in the flesh. He's in heaven. The way you serve the Lord is we serve each other. That's the way we serve the Lord. But buddy, I tell you one thing, that takes a mindset of humility, doesn't it? That takes someone being filled with the Spirit of Christ. Look in your handout at Philippians 2, 3 and 4. It says, let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other, and then everybody say the rest of that with me, better than themselves. Isn't that interesting? You're sitting in church, let every man esteem other better than themselves. You know what most happens to most people? We get a little spiritual growth under us. We begin to know a little bit about our Bible. Maybe we get a position up at the church. And buddy, I mean, it goes to the head and we begin thinking we're a cut above other people. That's exactly the opposite of the mind of Christ. Let each esteem other better than you say, well, you know, that sounds good, but I mean, that's just mind games. You can't really do that. No, no, no. You really can. Do you want to know how you can do that? I'll tell you how and why that's literal. Here's why. Do you know my heart and do you know everything about my life, yes or no? Do I know your heart and your life? Question, who knows your heart and who knows your sin better than anybody else? You do. That means you know all about your heart. That means you know all about your sin and you are very much an expert on the subject of your sin and your heart. but not anybody else's, then that means that if my focus is upon my relationship with Christ, and if my focus is that I know my sin better than anybody else's, then you know what? That makes it very easy for me to esteem everybody else better than myself. But when we begin to get prideful and full of ourselves, and we begin to look at the good things we do, and then we begin to pick apart other people and judge their motive and judge their heart and judge their actions, then all of a sudden that pride begins to take over. He says, let every man esteem other better than themselves. You know what that reminds me of when it talks about us sitting here esteeming everyone else better than us? Which, by the way, if that takes care of the whole problem of not wanting to serve people, if you esteem others better than yourself, then you have no problem serving them. But when you think you're a cut above and you deserve to be served, you don't want to serve, right? Reminds me of the young lady that came to her pastor. She said, Pastor, I have a besetting sin, and I really need help with this. And he said, well, young lady, how can I help you? She said, my besetting sin is, she said, every time I go to church, I sit in church, and I think to myself, I'm the prettiest girl in this church. And she said, I know I ought not think that. She said, but I can't help it. I sit there and I just constantly think, I'm the prettiest girl in this church. He said, honey, I really wouldn't worry about it. He said, because in your case, it's really not a sin. It's just a horrible mistake on your part. Amen. Let me ask you a question. Did Christ have humility? Look in your handout. I want to show you how he did it. Look at Philippians 2, 7 and 8. Turn your handout over and I want to show you. The Bible says here, Christ made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he what? He humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Did you know that without humility of mind, Christ would have never gone to the cross and we would all be doomed to die in our sins? Hey, did y'all hear that? Without humility of mind, had Christ not been humble, had he not humbled himself, he would have never gone to that cross. He would have never died and allowed them to treat him so shamefully, so despicably, and spit on him. Most of us, if somebody came and spit on us, man, we'd be so abhorred. I don't deserve that. How dare you do that? We'd retaliate. We'd punch them. We'd do whatever. They spit on our Savior. To me, that's like the highest insult. Buddy, I mean, they just spit on him. Spit in his face. Blindfolded him and beat him. Took a cat of nine tails with just sharp, like basically it was like a whip with just pieces of glass all over it. Sharp glass, and just ripped his back up with it. And he took it. And he didn't have to. And he didn't deserve it. And he let them walk all over him. And he allowed them to let him treat him like a doormat for you and me. For you and me. So we wouldn't have to die in our sins and go to hell, so we could live in heaven forever and be reconciled to God. And he did that for you and me. He had humility of mind. And had it not been for that humility, he wouldn't have gone to the cross. Fathers, dads, do you want to impact your children for the Lord? Possess humility of mind and have a servant's heart in your home. Have a servant's heart in your home. Married couples, do you want to have an impact on your children? You want to live your life for maximum impact? Let your children see you serving one another. And yeah, serve your children. And yeah, let them see you giving of yourself to serve other people. And by the way, I'll go a step further. Find things you can serve as a family so that your kids are seeing you firsthand serve the Lord. Serve as a family. Say, well, but you know, we've all got different gifts and abilities and things, and I understand that. But I think sometimes dad's serving over here, mom's serving over here, the teens are serving over here, and I think that's great. I think I understand that, why we do that. We all have different gifts, abilities, we're different, we're individual, and I understand that. But there needs to be times, I think, when you serve, you find something. You know, we can do that as a family. Hey, you know, Brother Shannon said he needed help getting out the door knockers. And we just want to hit a neighborhood real fast and put door knockers on all the doors, invite them to our Easter services. Hey, man, we can give an hour of a Saturday. We'll all come up as a family, and we'll just go out and have fun as a family. You know, what a way to serve as a family. That's something you could do as a family. You know, when we serve others, we are demonstrating in a very real and a very powerful way that, you know what, I recognize life's not about me. The world doesn't revolve around me. My life is about Jesus Christ, and it's about others, and it's about their needs. Now, let me give you a word of warning. When you decide to serve the Lord with humility, that does not mean it's going to be smooth sailing. Look at verse 19 again, where he says, serving the Lord with all humility of mind, but then look at the rest of the verse, and with many tears and temptations, that means adversities, which befell me by the lying in wait of the Jews. What's he talking about? Go back one chapter and look at 19. Look at chapter 19 and look back at verse 8. Look at back at chapter 19 when he was in Ephesus. Remember, he's recounting his days in Ephesus, his time that he spent in Ephesus. And look at verse 8, 19:8. And he went into the synagogue and spake boldly for the space of 3 months, disputing and persuading the things concerning the kingdom of God. But when divers were hardened and believed not, but spake evil of that way before the multitude, he departed from them and separated the disciples, disputing daily in the school of one Tyrannus. So, you know, Paul, he got some opposition. There were Christ-rejecting Jews who did not appreciate Paul's stand. They did not appreciate the message of Jesus Christ. And they fought him. And we know it led to a riot and a mob. And he had to leave town under this cloud of a terrible situation. That's when serving God gets tough. Is when you serve the Lord and people don't appreciate it. When you serve the Lord and people basically ball their fist up at you and slap you in the face when you try to serve them. That's when it gets tough, when you serve the Lord and you don't feel appreciated, you don't feel like there's a pat on the back, you don't feel like people care. Then what? Paul said, you know how I serve the Lord with humility. But he said, and you know how I did it with many tears and many, many temptations or adversities, trials. And yet these people observe Paul faithfully serving God despite the tears, despite the adversity. And man, I tell you what, his life had maximum impact on these people. Marriages have adversity. But when you continue to serve the Lord and serve each other through the adversity, it has a powerful impact on those around you. You know, you're going to encounter adversity in your family. You're going to encounter adversity at work, at home, at church, at school. But will you continue to serve the Lord with humility Will you continue on? Will you keep on keeping on? When you try to serve people and it's not appreciated, and you see, man, the more I serve the Lord, the more problems I have. The more I serve the Lord, the more adversities I have. The more I serve the Lord, it seems like the more tears I have. Yeah, that's what Paul went through. But he was faithful. And his life had great impact because of his faithfulness through the adversity to keep serving, not to give up. You know, our life is not a DVR. You guys do remember what that means, right? Digital video recorder. Your life is not a digital video recorder. Your life is not a DVR. You can't go back. You know, I love being in the ministry. I can't imagine doing anything but being in the ministry. I love it because it gives me an opportunity to serve. To serve. Yesterday, I taught a Bible Institute class. And I left there and did a funeral. Then I went home for a little while and then went back last night and did another funeral. And then lost an hour of time when I got home. I thought, what a day to lose an hour. You know? But you know what? It's a great feeling to serve the Lord. It's a great feeling to know that you're impacting lives for Christ. And I know everybody isn't going to be in the ministry. I understand that. But you understand that wherever you are, whatever job you're in, whatever school you're in, whatever circumstance you find yourself, you know what? You can serve the Lord. How? Humility of mind. Have a servant's heart. Have a servant's heart. And our life's not like a DVR. We can't go back. We can't rewind yesterday. We can't do it over. So do you want your life to have maximum impact? Serve the Lord with humility, even through adversity. Hey, do y'all agree with me? Christ was the greatest leader in the Bible. But he was also the greatest servant, wasn't he? He was the greatest servant. Why? Humility of mind. You know, I've got another point there in your handout I was going to hit. We'll hit that next week. I really feel like we need to probably stop right there. So let's just bow our heads and close our eyes, and we'll finish this up next week.